I'd like to thank Morris for making those announcements and Joel for that Bible reading. Now, when I was thinking about the length of time that I would have this morning, I reckoned I'll not have a long time at all, so I'll need to be quite short. But of course, you are all going to be really, really quiet. You've been doing really well, thank you, and we will soon be over. One thing I should say, when you go upstairs after this, if you're listening to what I'm going to be saying now, there's going to be a quiz. 6 questions will be asked in the quiz. Now, see if there's any big person beside you. Give them a dig now. And tell them you need to be listening as well as me, because I want you to help me answer these questions at the end. And of course, there will be prizes. We'll maybe draw 5 or so prizes, so that gives a fair chance of winning today if you listen very, very well. So on the screen, we have a couple of big words, and we have the extraordinary impact of mothers. When I started this, I was going to do the extraordinary value of mothers, because they are very valuable, and we know that. But see the kind of font I'm using on screen? Whenever I put in value, it looked like V-A-L-V-E, not U, so it would have been the extraordinary valve of mothers. And I thought, well, that really wouldn't do, so you'll have to change it, and we've changed it to impact. And we're talking about 2 people today. It's Timothy's mother and also Timothy's grandmother. I heard of a school science teacher, and he's up and he's talking to his students, and he's going on about the properties of a magnet. And when you get in a science class, you'll probably do the magnet and the metal filings and attach them all to that magnet due to the big attraction there's in there. So having talked to the school people about this magnet one day, he comes back the next day and he says, I'm going to set you a quiz. So I hope you were listening, just like I'm doing today. I hope you were listening to all that I said yesterday about the magnet. And he said, the first question is this. My name begins with an M, has 6 letters, and I pick things up. And he asks them, what am I? And he expected everybody in the class would write magnet, because that's what they've been learning about the day before. But half of that class wrote this word, mother. And if you're a mother here today, you'll probably know why those children wrote on their paper, the M with 6 letters that picks things up has got to be mother. There was a former president in the United States of America, Roosevelt was his name, and he was just leading into World War I, and he felt that mothers were so much more valuable than scientists themselves, never mind the magnets that a scientist might have. And here's what he said. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman like him, politician, or businessman, or artist, or, as I said, scientist. Did you know that when a child reaches 18 years of age, a mother will have had to handle about 18,000 hours of extra work looking after that child reaching the age of 18. That is 1,000 hours a year. I know sometimes people think, what are you on per hour? And they check with somebody else, what's the value of you and your work? What are you getting per hour? Well, say we're getting £10 an hour, then, ladies, that would be £10,000 a year. I'm wondering, do you get that for all of your mothering duties? But that's what it's worth. Mothering is tiring work. And dads sometimes, they find maybe a little experiment. Take the children for a day. Send mom to the local hotel. Just overnight, 24 hours. And then what kind of a chaos will she come back to whenever dad has been left in charge? Some dads are pretty good. Others just don't measure up. Mothering is timeless work as well, because it just never ends. There's a little line that goes, a man may work from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. Did you know that in the Bible, The word mother appears again and again and again, almost 250 times. Now, if I tell you that the word mother appears in the Bible almost 250 times, not quite, what do you think is the number of times the word mother does appear in the Bible? Any idea? Shout it out. Wow, we're not even going to have to ask anybody else because he has got it spot on right away. 249 times in the Bible, this word mother is mentioned. Now, we're not going to think about the 249 mothers in the Bible. As I've said already, we're only thinking about two, Timothy's mother and also Timothy's grandmother. Eunice was the name of his mother, and Lois was the name of his grandmother. I don't know, have we any Eunices here today? We do have one. Have we any Loises here today? Don't see any hands, but it's always a possibility. In fact, there was a young girl coming here, and her name was Lois. I'm not sure that she's here today, but Eunice and Lois are the two names that we're thinking about today. One is a mother, Eunice, the other is a grandmother, and that is Lois. Whenever Joel was up, he read some verses out of the Bible, and some of them talk about belief, or another word, faith. There he read in 2 Timothy 1 and 5, "When I call to remembrance," and this is Paul the Apostle writing in 2 Timothy, "when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith." That's a big word. But remember it. We're coming back to it in a moment or two. "The unfeigned faith that is in thee, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." So as far as Paul was concerned, he looks into this family and he sees faith in three people. The grandmother Lois, also the mother Eunice, and then in the son of the grandson, Timothy. So three people that we're thinking about here, Lois, Eunice, and Timothy, all had faith. You see, there was a day when Paul was a great missionary and a preacher, and he was going about in ships from place to place, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was an occasion where he came to Lystra. Anybody see Lystra on that map? I know it's not really too clear, could be in better focus and all of that, but can you spot where Lystra is? Are you getting that word? Lystra? Let's hear it. Lystra. Okay, because I think that might be one of the questions upstairs. So Paul comes into Lystra, and he finds there, as he begins to preach, there's Eunice, and there's Lois, the grandmother and the mother, and they're in the audience, and they're listening to him preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that very day, Eunice and Lois gave their lives to Christ, and they depended entirely upon what Jesus had did on Calvary, what he had done there, and that was faith being exercised. So we've got Paul preaching in the synagogue among the Jews, because we find that Eunice and Lois were both Jewish. Now, somebody said to me one day, "I have an aunt," they said, "and my aunt was a woman of faith. And as she was dying, she passed her faith on to me." Now, that can't happen, because you can't pass your faith on to anybody else. Faith is a personal thing. Belief in Christ is a very personal thing as well. You can teach, you can tell, but you can't give what is in your heart to somebody else, as in passing on the faith. Like we said, that Paul used a very strange word to describe this faith. And again, you're going to need this for an answer to a question. I'm almost certain about that. And the word is unfeigned. Have you ever had your teacher in school use that word unfeigned? Anybody? I would reckon you haven't, because it's a very odd and unusual and even old word. But it has a simple meaning. Well, I think reasonably simple. It means sincere. Another word? Genuine. True faith. Or also real faith. So it has a big stamp of genuineness about this particular faith. And Paul is saying, as he looked into this home, there is real faith in the life of Eunice and Lois, and also now in their son or grandson, this man by the name of Timothy. So the word is unfeigned, but it means real, genuine. It means that you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've taken him as your Savior and your Lord, and you're depending on him alone for salvation. Nothing, nobody else, including yourself, but only in him. That is real and genuine faith. Young girl up on screen there, and train in the background, and it was a young girl who wasn't used to traveling, but she was going to take a train journey, and it was a long train journey through the country. And they were crossing over a lot of rivers and streams, and she's looking out the window and she sees all this water coming up, and she's thinking, wow, we're going to fall into that. How will we get across that? And then, because she'd never been on a train before, all of a sudden there came up a bridge, and she thought, what a relief. We can go over that water. And it came the second time, it came the third time, and all over the country she was going over these big bridges on this train. And she leaned back in her seat, she'd been nervous up to this, she leaned back in her seat and she just gave a gasp of relief, and she said, somebody has put bridges all along the way. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ placed himself as? A bridge, we could call him that, a bridge between ourselves in all of our sin and God's heaven in all of that holiness. And by his death, the Lord Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary, he has stretched himself over the great divide that separated us from God, and he has made a bridge that allows us by faith and in repentance to cross. I like the way an old preacher put it. He said, I believe in a doctor when I put my case into his hands, and I trust that he will try to cure me. I believe in a lawyer when I need my case in his hands, and I trust he will try to defend me. Also, I believe in a banker when I put my money into his hands, and I trust that he will keep it for me. Then he says, I believe in my Savior when I take him to be my Savior, when I put my helpless case into his hands and trust him to do what I cannot do for myself, save me from my sin. And you know what? That is what faith is all about. So the word belief. Then secondly, we have another word, and that is Bible. I'm wondering, do you have as big a Bible as I have? This Bible doesn't actually belong to me. I found it this morning in one of our rooms. Look at the size of that. Now, if I was going around as I do from day to day and visiting in people's homes and sat down and said, right, we're going to read a passage here. If I brought a Bible as big as that, they would be thinking, he's going to sit there all day and keep reading. Isn't that massive? Well, it's not what you would call a pocket Bible, is it? It isn't. If I'm out in visitation, my Bible will be about the size of a diary, not as big as that. But we're going to talk briefly about Bible here, because Paul was talking in 2 Timothy 3:15, what Joel read about that from a child. This is about Timothy. That from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, does the word Bible appear in that verse? Can anybody see the word Bible in that verse? It's not there as in we haven't B-I-B-L-E spelled out. But there is something that describes what the Bible is. Can anybody tell me? Oh, fantastic. Yes, the Holy Scriptures. Holy because God gave them, and they are blessed and beneficial words. So the Bible and the Holy Scriptures. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, you know what? In your home, Lois, the grandmother, was there. Eunice, the mother, was there. No mention of father or grandfather. We reckon that Paul's father was probably a Greek, therefore an unconverted man. But his mother and grandmother was opening the Bible and reading the Bible to them and teaching them the Bible. And they were doing that right from the time that he was, what does it say? That from a child. So they were teaching him the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. Some people think that's a bit early, you know. That's pushing it. Don't start at that stage. You know, let the child have a little breathing space and let them have their own way and don't be reading the Bible to them. But you know what? People that say that have actually forgotten. Other folk out there in the world are not holding back. Other people out there aren't giving our children space. And that will mean that some of them that have bad intentions will fill our children's minds with the biggest load of garbage and rubbish and dangerous material. And the more I read and the more I see, the more is out there that I am absolutely horrified by. But we have Lois here and Eunice as well and Paul, and he is teaching the Bible in this home, and he's making sure we deal with all of that poison that is about. So Eunice's example, Lois' example is saying, read the Bible with your children. Teach them from God's Word. Memorize verses with them. They're never too young to start, and it's never too late to begin either. This Bible is worth reading. Anybody know who this is on screen? Only Google popped him up. I probably wouldn't have recognized him either. It's one of the most famous missionaries, a Scotsman, that ever went over to Africa, and his name is David Livingstone, and he went trekking across Africa in 1852. And believe it or not, he's going through the interior, and he's struggling because he's carrying 73 books in his luggage. And that weighed about 82 kilograms. Now, when I talk about 82 kilograms, see if you get your dad on a set of scales, or your granda on a set of scales, or your big brother on a set of scales. Just check out what weight he is, because the weight of an average man, is 82 kilograms. That's the weight of books that David Livingstone carried across Africa, and he went for 300 miles. And then do you know what happened? Well, he thought what I would have thought, this is far too heavy. He began to throw a book away, threw another book away, and another, and set them somewhere else, and gave a book to somebody, probably couldn't read it, but he gave them, and he got rid of all of those books, apart from one book left. And you could guess what book it was that he kept when he said all the other, it was the Bible, and we're getting that from a moment of quarters. Thank you, well focused, down to one book, and that was God's book, the Bible. And he used that book as he missioned right across Africa after that. You know, the Bible is the most important book in the world, although some people imagine it's the least important, and we should be reading the Bible to our children. I wonder how much do we really know about it? You might know about Peanuts, Charlie Brown, older folk will rather than younger ones. And there was a time when Sally in this Peanuts comic strip was thinking about Sunday school. And she was going to Sunday school that next Sunday. And she thought, now, where was that verse that I was to learn for my Sunday school teacher? Can't remember, struggled, tried to remember. And she thought, you know what? I think it was in the book of Re-evaluation. Well, that's a big name, and there's no book in the Bible that has that name. So she was wrong, but she made a good effort. Any idea what book she might have been thinking about? Wow, spot on. Wasn't the book of Re-evaluation at all. It was a book of Revelation, which is the final book in the Bible right at the end. And that is where her verse that she needed to learn for Sunday school was out of. I don't know if she ever found it. But the thing about it is, we sing a little chorus in Sunday school and children's meeting. I have a precious book. It's the Word of God. It's the only book that God has given. As I read, God speaks to me. What does he speak to me about? I see Christ and Calvary, the wonderful Word of God. And that is the main message of the entire Bible, Genesis right through to Revelation, Christ and Calvary. And Paul, said about Timothy, it has delivered your soul, you've been saved through this book, and it also, after salvation, leads you on. It has directed your steps as well. And he writes about that in the passage Joel read, 2 Timothy 3, the verse 15 to 17. So we've covered belief, and we've covered Bible. And we're coming on to, very quickly, blessing is our third and final word. And what I mean by that is this. Whenever Timothy came to faith in Christ, he decided, I need to spread this message, share it with other people around me. And so what he did was, he linked up with Paul. And together, they get into these boats, and they went to this city, that town, that village, and they got up, and he did what Paul had been doing. He preached. And then Timothy founded a church in the city of Ephesus. Now, 20 years down the line after this, we have Paul the Apostle, and people have taken him and they put him into prison. And Paul's in prison, and he is going to be executed in Rome. But he writes a letter to Timothy. We have it in our Bible, 1 Timothy. He writes another letter to Timothy. We have that in our Bible as well, 2 Timothy. And Joel read from that today, and we're using that this morning. 1 and 2 Timothy. And in writing these, he remembers the influence that his grandmother Lois had upon Timothy's life, his mother Eunice had on Timothy's life as well. And here's the grandson and the son Timothy. And now that Timothy is preaching, now that he's preaching the same Bible, he is having an influence on others, including where he was in his church in the city of Ephesus. Here's another old man. Although I must say, given the fact he's pretty much all brown haired, he looks younger than I do. What can you do? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great preacher in London many, many years ago, and he said about mothers, never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother. And Spurgeon went on to talk about the times when his mother knelt down beside him and prayed with him, the times when she prayed for him, the times when she opened up the Bible, the Word of God, and taught him. And he's thinking, there's nothing else compares with that in all the world, and he's right. What impact are we having? What signposts are we setting up? What legacy are we leaving behind? Let's try our links again. We have the grandmother Lois, the mother Eunice, whose name's going to appear again now, grandson or son, Timothy. Then we have others, the ones that he was preaching to, and then we have us. And what impact are we having in our home and outside of it, as far as God's word is concerned? Reading the Bible, spreading the Bible, the best book in all the world. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you've got, and I hope I've said all the right things in terms of, we have six questions upstairs, and I hope I've covered all six. But you can fill them in for your chance of a prize later on. We'll all stand together for our final hymn, and we'll sing this one out. Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. Let's all be standing, please, and let's really sign this one out. Love divine, so great and wondrous. first her full heart and to come, and to close our meeting, please, in prayer.
Give thanks for food. Folks, just before we bow in prayer, can I ask you to do something? Marjorie and her team upstairs have prepared some lovely food. There's stew, sausages, all sorts of things. So could you put your hands up, please, if you're staying for something to eat, just to give us an idea. There's a few people counting now, so put your hands well up. That's good. Thank you. That gives us an idea. Keep them well up. That's good. Brilliant. Keep your hands well up. That's good. Okay. I think they're counting very fast there. Okay. All right. Okay, boys and girls, we're going to bow in a wee word of prayer. And I know some of the boys over here and some of the girls here as well. We do a little prayer drill. We're going to do that. So I need you all to watch at the front, okay? And then we're going to pray, okay? So let's do a prayer drill. It goes simply like this. P-R-A-Y. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the meeting this morning. We just thank you for the great reminder of Lois and Eunice, people that took time to share the precious word of God with the younger children. And so, Father, we just thank you for the word of God today. We thank you it's for everyone. It's for all ages. And we just thank you this morning that it is a part of God unto salvation. So, Father, we just pray that you'll bless your word this morning. Help us all to think about it. Not only to think about it, but perhaps someone here still doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their own and as their personal Savior. We just pray that, Lord, each one, Lord, will trust the Savior and will go on to live for you and to serve you day by day. Bless the food, Lord, now to our bodies. Thank you for it. And we thank you again for each one gathered today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks very much. And we encourage everybody to stay, even if you've food at home. Sure, come up for a bowl of soup, cup of tea, and then you can go on to whatever's at home. Thank you.